from Northern California. It's the Penpals.buzz Prison Pen Pal Podcast. Hear real stories from real inmates who want to write to you. Now, here's your host, Big Steve.
You know, a lot of times people scoff and say, yeah, right, when they hear someone talk about prison's good for rehabilitating people. People say, yeah, right. Everybody comes out more angry and more violent than when they went in. And that's true sometimes, but I think the thing of it is you have to want to change. You have to want to better yourself. It's just like therapy. You can't force someone to go get help if they don't want to. But for those that do want to get help, we're talking to a man today who's almost like the poster child for rehabilitation. He seems genuine, and he has quite a story to tell about what led him to his arrest growing up in gang-stricken El Monte, California, and what he's doing about it now to become a better person. I feel it's inspirational because you know what, everybody? We read these articles. We see these stories in Google with a headline such as this one I'm looking at now from the Department of Justice website. El Monte Flores gang member sentenced to 210 months in federal prison on multiple racketeering charges. We read these headlines and we think, well, that guy's irredeemable. That guy's worthless. That's what we think. We read these articles. And I mean, who wouldn't think that? Because they're not seeing the other side of the story. They're not seeing who Christian Lafargo was and the reasons he did what he did and how he's worked so hard to better himself in the 10 years that he's been incarcerated. I'll just read this from May 23rd, 2016. An El Monte man who pled guilty to four separate crimes related to gang activity has been sentenced to serve 210 months in federal prison. Christian Bossy, that's what they called him, Bossy Lafargo, he was age 30, was sentenced Thursday after pleading guilty to multiple charges, including racketeer-influenced and corrupt organizations, that's RICO conspiracy, violent crime in the aid of racketeering, attempted murder, conspiracy to commit murder, and discharging a firearm during and in relation to a crime of violence, right? Goes on to say, the case was based on Lafargo's activities in the El Monte Flores EMF gang, one of the oldest street gangs in Los Angeles County. According to the government sentencing papers, EMF has hundreds of Mexican mafia-affiliated gang members spanning several generations. Christian grew up in this environment, mind you. This is kind of all he knew. And we'll get into more of that when we chat with him. He was a longtime member of EMF, participated in all these horrible things, including attempted murder. He kicked someone in the head and assaulted him. He tried to kill his co-defendant because he had instructed someone to sell drugs in the same area where Lafargo himself was selling drugs. And I mean, it goes on. And you read this and you're like, thank God, you know, right? You read this, you think, thank God they caught him. They put him away. They're taking care of those violent streets in El Monte, right? That's what you think. And I mean, in many ways, that's probably true because had he not been caught, had he not been arrested, he very likely would have either been killed by someone else on the streets or he'd still be out doing the things he was doing. But we use that cliche, the wake-up call, which always sounds ridiculous. You go to your parole hearing and you say, oh, I had a real wake-up call, sir, and I won't do it again. And they just say like, yeah, sure, wake-up call. My ass, you had a wake-up call. You know, but in this case, I feel it's really true. This got him moving in another direction. And what's interesting for me to be able to share with you is the difference between the feeling you get when you read or you hear that article and then the feeling you get when you hear Chris Lafargo tell his story in his own words. Very, very different feelings. And I think both are valid to experience. So we've got Chris on the phone. And we're just hoping to hear your story today, Chris.
Okay. I grew up in Los Angeles in a town called El Monte. You know, my pops was in and out of my life. He was, doing prison time as well. It is pretty rough for kids, you know, that don't have a father. And, you know, I think back now, I got so much time on my hands now. And I reflect back on moments where I would like a positive role model or even having my father around, like, just to show me how, like, you know, just show me the ropes and, like,
this call is from a federal prison.
Make better decisions than I did on my own when he wasn't around. And I don't put the blame on him or my mother or anything like that. I don't put the blame on nobody because these are decisions I did make as a young child. And I had choices that I could, you know, went a different route in my life, but I stood with this old lifestyle that I had because that's all I really knew.
You know, it's tough, and I don't know how old you were when you were first kind of introduced to that lifestyle and the gang lifestyle and whatnot. Were you young? Were you a, you
know? Yeah. I was around like 11, 12 years old.
Yeah.
You know, I was 11. You know, if you're familiar with the LA area, that's just the culture out there. You know, that's just it's the culture out there, and you get really influenced right away, you know, and it leads from there.
And that age, it's so hard to, I mean, you're not, nobody's really smart. I was stupid at 11. Everybody's stupid at 11, right? You don't really know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Man, so you've been down, what, you said a little over 10 years now?
A little over 10 years.
Far away from El Monte. You're all the way out in Fairton, New Jersey now, about as far as you can be from El Monte. Get away from that lifestyle. And so, I mean, so we don't want to, you said in your profile, by the way, it's Chris Lafargo, and you can find you on penpals.buzz/inmate/Christian-Lafargo. That's LaFargo. But it said in your profile, I thought this was really interesting, that you want people to see you as the man you are and not what people would assume someone in your position would be, the stereotype, right?
Exactly. Because, you know, it's like a stigma. Everybody, you know, right away people think, you know, so it's not wrong for them to think about men or women that are incarcerated the wrong thing. They're incarcerated for a reason. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times it leads to a stigma to most of us, and they stereotype a lot of us that, you know, they're in there, they're not doing anything. And I just want to, I want to speak on the contrary part of that, letting them know that there is men, and I'm sure there's women as well that are trying to change their life in here and that are making better decisions for themselves while they're in here, you know, breaking down barriers, building themselves back up, you know, because you have a lot of men or women that suffer from low self-esteem, the lack of attention, you know, so, or they never have support from their family. That's another thing I want to hit on is, like, you know, when you don't have any support, you know, from family members, a lot of people make irrational decisions with themselves in here. I want to advocate towards that. When you're able to grow up in here and you start making better decisions about yourself and the choices you make while you're in here, there's a phrase, right? A better version of myself, right?
Right, yeah.
You know, I want to advocate on those parts. Like, you know, don't look at me as a man I was before, but whatever you read online, like, I'm no near next to that. Like, I'm no near to that person anymore. You know, I'm into, like, trying to, like, build better relationships with others, learn better communication skills with others, you know, just be a service with others, you know. And that's why I went on the Pimp House Out Buzz. I overheard on the radio. And, you know, I'm a big listener to Art Dove. When I found out you were able to listen to Art Dove all the way on the East Coast, I was like, oh, man, like, Art Dove.
The guy's amazing. He's on, like, 300 radio stations. He's even got stations in Europe, all around the world, man. It's incredible.
I remember growing up back home, doing time back home, you know, I would always listen to Art Dove. Like, oh, you know, Art Dove, you know, he plays all the good slow jams, you know, Oral Expressions, you know. So it's just like, when I heard it, I was like, oh, man, you know what, man? Yeah. I gotta try the site out, you know. Let me see what the site's about.
And that's so,
you know,
great.
One thing that caught my eye was a podcast. I was like, oh, you know what, this is one way I could share my story with people out there in the world.
Yeah, it's such a good story, and I mean, we all admire. We're looking at some of the accomplishments you've made in there, and just the progress, I think, is incredible. I wanted to ask a little about, it says in your profile here that you've been learning and working in HVAC. Is that, that's one of the things you've been doing?
Oh, yeah. I work in HVAC in here, and, you know, I have supervisors right here that monitor me while I'm working and that teach me the trades of HVAC, the skills of HVAC. And, you know, this is something that I want to pursue. I want to pursue out there in the world upon my release.
That's so important now. People don't realize how valuable the trades are now, because everyone always used to say, oh, you got to go to college and get a college degree and get a bachelor's. But man, all these guys out here now with bachelor's degrees, they're not getting jobs. You know, they're working at Burger King with a bachelor's degree, but dudes that are in the trades, man, HVAC, whatever it might be, plumbing, whatever it is, man, they're out there making a ton of money, and they're really high you know, really in demand right now in the world. What else have you been doing trade-wise?
I'm getting certified as a drywall mechanic. I'm going to school right here, and there's a little vocational training that...
This call is from a federal prison.
A little vocational training shop that they have here that they allow inmates to either enlist or participate and take a... It's through the NCCER college that they provide us that I'm taking right now. I also picked up an apprenticeship on a sewing machine repair mechanics. So I also learned how to work on these $80,000 robotic machines.
Oh,
they're called Adlers, Dirkhoff Adlers.
What does that do?
They do pockets on like on shirts.
Oh wow!
I learned how to work on like all Juki machines, all Brothers machines, any kind of sewing machine there is out there in a factory. I could actually operate and work on. I learned how to do that. I also learned how to do machinery, working on a conventional milling machine. I learned all sorts of things. Like once I decided to start changing my life over, you know, I said, you know what? If I gave my life, if I put everything I like, all my energy into this old lifestyle, and I should be able to transition that energy into making something positive while I'm in here. And that's what I keep on doing. You know, you have to be ambitious. You have to be determined. You got to want to do it. You know, and you have to know who you are inside as well.
This is kind of going to be blowing people's minds that are listening because, I mean, I know it's not great in there usually, but
yeah.
I mean, but you're doing more in there than so many people. I mean, there's people listening to this right now. They just probably sat on the sofa all day and played Merge Match Dragons or whatever on their phone, right? Or whatever, Candy Crush or whatever they're playing and haven't even got dressed, haven't taken a shower, haven't done crap. And you're working on $80,000 machines and doing HVAC and all kinds of stuff. I mean, it sounds like you're incredibly busy. I'm honored. Honestly, I'm honored that you have time to call us here at the podcast. It's awesome.
So no, it's an honor and it's a privilege for me to be able to put this on air like that. You know, I've been really anticipating for this all week. I told a couple of my buddies like, yeah, you know what? I'm about to do this podcast with this guy and he's, you know, like, I don't know how it's going to go. I'm a little nervous, but I know I could do it. So I've been a little anticipating for this moment, for this time. So I could try to reach out to the world and through that touch of life, you know, give people motivation. They let them know that don't give up, you know, like that things in life is not due to your circumstances. You know, it's how you create them. What are you going to do for the outcome?
Right, because you know, I know there's probably plenty of guys in there that are with you. We won't name names, but I'm sure there's plenty of guys in there that are in that victim mentality that they got screwed over by the system and that they shouldn't be there and they just sit around and wallow in their pity. And people do that on the streets too, you know. If they get fired from a job, they just lose, you know, they just give up. And you can't do that. You keep pushing forward. You create your own future, right? Like you said, like your best version of yourself.
Yep.
So we're going to try to get you some pen pals. And what's interesting with our site, because people never think of it this way, but a lot of the people out here in the world that are looking for incarcerated people to write, these are people that have a lot going on, problems in their life. They're looking for someone that can help them, boost them up, give them advice. And everyone thinks, oh, yeah, I'm going to write to the inmate and I'm going to help the inmate. But almost half almost half the time, the inmate's helping the person on the streets just as much, sometimes more. So it's a cool type of friendship that we connect people with here. And we want to get some people writing you. You've got some good pictures on your profile. You've got a good profile. Are you still 39? I don't know if you've turned 40 yet.
Yeah.
39.
No, I turned 40 in July.
Okay, so women love the 39-year-old men, so that's a good thing. But for real though, what kind of people ideally would you like to connect with through penpals.buzz?
Anybody that's open-minded, that's willing to take the time to invest, you know, invest yourself on building a friendship. You know, it don't have to be just somebody open-minded.
All right, more with Chris Lafargo in 20 seconds.
Do you have a loved one that might like a pen pal? Tell them about penpals.buzz. With a penpals.buzz profile, they can exchange letters and emails with open-minded men and women worldwide. Penpals.buzz.
Yeah, we had him spell that out because you'd be surprised. people that hear the ad on Sunday Night Slow Jams and they write to us, they hear penpals.buzz, and we get penpals.bugs, we get penpals.buds, we get penpals.boss. So I said, we have to spend 3 seconds and spell B-U-Z-Z. And it works. Now people know it's the buzz. It's not penpals.bug. So it all worked out well. We're talking with Chris LaFargo.
But I want to tell you, you know, I got to commend you on, like, the work you're putting into all this. Like, you know, for those individuals that are incarcerated that don't really have, like, a lot of access to, you know, stuff that as you promote, it helps out, you know, to reach out to the world, to feel that touch of life, you know. It just...
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I know how hard it is in there, and especially so many of these companies, they... I mean, they take forever to respond to you, and you might send them money, yeah, and you don't hear, yeah, back for six. I mean, sometimes it takes 6 months to get a magazine, you know, that you order.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
You know, and then the prisons these days, I mean, I don't know where you're at, how it is, but man, they make it so hard to get mail to even feel connected anymore. There's prisons in Oregon that just made a rule that they won't give you the mailing address of the person that wrote you. I mean, that's how crazy this is getting, right? So you get a letter, but you don't have an address, so you can't write back unless you know their address already. I mean, it's just like nuts.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So we're fighting. It feels a lot of times like an uphill battle, you know, but we just do everything we can,
yeah,
to make it easier for everybody who's in your situation, because there's millions of people, you know, who are locked up, and
yeah,
it's just
yeah.
It you know, so we do what we can, but yeah, it's tough sometimes, man. I know it's tougher, yeah,
especially
for you.
Like the core links, like, I don't know if it was you or one of your staff had mentioned, like, the core links is really hard to get on.
So the thing with core links, and core links is actually of the systems we use, it's the best one. It's my favorite. But the difference with core links generally is that you have to send us a request first, right? So with all the other systems,
yeah,
I can log on to the other systems and I can say, I can type in Chris LaFargo and your number, and then it pops up and I can just add you.
This call is from the federal prison.
But with Core Links, uh-huh, with Core Links, you send us a request via email first. So you'd have to know our email address. And then from what we understand, a lot of those emails go to spam folders, or people never see them or don't understand what they are. So that first contact is really hard, but once you're connected on there, man, Core Links is pretty great for us. Plus, I guess you're paying for those messages, so we're not paying to write you on there.
It's either that or snail mail, and I understand that a lot of people, they're not really into snail mail anymore, you know?
In so many facilities now, you send snail mail, and then they scan it. Like, you know, let's say there's,
yeah,
a prison in, I don't know where, let's just say they're in, you know, Nevada, and you got to send the mail to New Jersey.
Yeah.
And then New Jersey scans,
yeah,
it, and they either photocopy it and send it back to Nevada, or they upload it to your tablet. And, man, these guys are saying it's taking like a month just to get their mail. I mean, you get a birthday letter like a month after your birthday from your grandma or whatever, you know. It's like, damn.
Yeah.
So we do all, yeah, we can, man, but it's a lot of work. And what's crazy is, like, each state and in the federal system, there's like 51 different rules that we have to know. You know, every state's a little bit different. Some you can send one page or, uh-huh, three pages. Some have to be a white envelope. Some have to be this or that, and it can't have this and that. You know, and it's like, man, whew,
yeah,
you got to be good.
Yeah, it's really difficult for us in here right now too, because there's so many things going on right now. Like the federal system's really gone, like, downhill. You know, like, you know, there's a lot of different things going on in the system, and it gets a little you could get a little devastated, get a little depressing at times, you know. Sometimes they'll lock you down for like the most smallest stuff, but I understand that, you know, they have to go by a policy, and it got real petty with a lot of stuff now, you know. A lot of our rights get violated now, just as far as like being like dehumanized almost,
yeah,
you know. Just like it doesn't feel right, you know. And it just, there's a lot of those small things, and
Yeah.
I don't like, but I find ways to be positive about it, though.
Yeah. What's can you think of one offhand, like a rule that seems bizarre for you that they enforce there?
Group punishment is like a really big thing in here right now. And like, we, like, you know, if somebody does something in here, and like, you got a lot of people that are getting intoxicated with like different kind of substance, and they could go out, you know. And so since this individual just went out, either the unit or the whole compound goes on lockdown, it goes on commissary restriction. Like, we just had one, just like one bizarre one that just happened is like, so in the federal system, they always say they encourage families to visit us, right? So if you're like, you know, I'm from Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I don't get visits. But if I say this hypothetically, if I would get a visit and my family's got to pay for the air flight and all that, and they set the visit for this weekend, and something happens in the compound,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
We all get locked down. We can't get our visit. But my family just got a ticket over $3,500 for for a couple, you know, like,
yeah,
like
right?
my aunt or my uncle.
Thousands,
you know,
of dollars.
It comes up to like $3,500 or something.
Right. And then they got to get like a hotel and all that stuff. And then, all that.
And then like now it's going to where it's the first week and the third week of the month that you could get visits only one day, like on a Saturday.
Mm.
So like that's something that just happens just like within the last few weeks. What do you mean you're taking our visits now? You know, like, you know, the commissary thing, like the commissary things, like that's the way we go shopping with it. You know, that's our market, you know.
That's, in a lot of ways for so many guys, that's like the one thing each week that you can look forward to, you know, to get you through the week.
Yeah.
It's like, shit, two more days, I'll get my soups or whatever it is coming, you know.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Yep,
man, it's just
Your bag. Coffee's like a big thing in here. Like, you know, you want your coffee. You know, like, you know, you drink your coffee in the morning. It's part of your routine. You know, you drink your coffee in the afternoon, or how, whatever the case may be. You know, and it's just things like that. You know, it messes with you. You know, I was just talking to one of the staff earlier. Like, I was, I'm like, hey, you know, sometimes, you know, being here could be a little devastating, and it could stress one out, you know, just with all the different ruckus that's going on in between the inmates or the administration. The administration, you know, takes the yard away from us, you know, like, oh, because these inmates over here did this. You know, it's just that group punishment is just kind of, it doesn't feel right.
It's a terrible comparison that I'm going to make, but I'm flashing back to junior high school. And I was a little fat.
This call is from a federal prison.
I was a little fat kid. I was a little fat kid, Chris. I was on the basketball team, right? And we had these jackasses that would, you know, miss free throws or whatever. They'd make everybody run laps, right? So the whole team had to run laps because somebody did something stupid, right? So, and I'm like, damn, man, I can barely run one lap. And they said, you got to run 10 laps now. So I just kept running. I got to the end of the lap and I just kept running, and I ran home. And I said, I'm done. So you don't even have that opportunity. You can't just run home, you know. I was like, basketball, basketball is not, if they're going to punish me, I was making the free throws. I was doing everything right. And then I get screwed because of somebody else. So, I mean, in a twisted way, I feel that pain. And it's 10 times worse, 100 times worse when you're locked up in there.
At the end of the day, you know, you either work on your coping skills or, you know, you just say, you know what, it's prison. What do I expect? You know, I did the crime. I got to pay the fine for it. You know, like, I'm not in the Holiday Inn. You know, there's different ways to see it. You know, I'm one of the individuals that try to always find a positive way of looking at
things. Man, it sounds like it sounds like you have too. I mean, so I imagine all these things you do in there to keep busy. It's taking your mind off a lot of that negativity, right? You're busy. You're not thinking about all that.
No, I put a lot of effort into my time in here. You know, everything I do is. And I always try to be productive. You know, I get my days, you know, I get my days where I feel down, you know, it's just, and everybody's entitled to a bad day, you know, so I get my days when I feel down, but I exercise a lot. So that's, it alleviates a lot of my stress, any kind of little frustration that's built up throughout the day or anything like that. So I'm able to release it like that. So that helps me out a lot,
We got just a couple minutes. I don't want to get cut off before we're done, but I wanted to just ask briefly about religion, God, spirituality. I know a lot of guys, they find God when they get to prison and they find that that helps them. Has that helped you in any sense?
You know, like I mentioned earlier, you know, like I had my encounter, and one of my encounters was having a moment with God, and I met other individuals that walked the same lifestyle that I did in here, and they brought me the word, you know, and I'm a man of faith today, you know. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior now. Mm-hmm. This is a way for me to go about my life now.
Right.
Having godly principles, having good morals, being able to understand what grace is, you know, being able to understand that at my most weakest moments, as Paul said, is when I'm the most strongest.
That'll help you in every facet of your life now and in the future when you are, you know, out of there.
Yeah, exactly. And it's something that I enjoy to share with other guys here too. I enjoy, you know, sharing the word with them, you know, encouraging them to make better decisions for themselves, because coming back to prison is not the way to live, you know. And
I know we're going to get cut off, so I want to give out your address so people can get in touch with you if they want to. Christian Lafargo, 68108-112, and that's FCI Fairton, Fairton. I love the P.O. Box, 420, P.O. Box 420, Fairton, New Jersey, 08320, and you can also send him a message for free through our site, penpals.buzz, and get connected with Chris on CoreLinks as well.
You know what, Steve, I really appreciate your time. I really appreciate you having me come on this podcast, and I just want to let the people know that, you know, anything's possible in life. You know, hit me up. I'm always willing to, you know, be a friend, or you be a friend to me, always able to invest some time and just put some time into building a friendship on honesty, loyalty, and respect.
It's lockdown time for Big Steve, but he'll be back soon with another edition of the PenPals.buzz Prison Pen Pal podcast. To be a guest on our show, email podcast@penpals.buzz or call 888-2-PENPAL. PenPals.buzz is a division of SnapTura Inmate Services.